There's a really good reason for it, because it's a great verse. And it's a verse that helps us to understand what God is like, what we're like, and how we can get to know God. And this verse was shared by Jesus himself. So Jesus was speaking, and he was sharing with the people. And especially he was talking to actually one person, Nicodemus. He was a guy who came to Jesus by night, and he wanted to know what Jesus had to say. He was puzzled, because Jesus was doing these miracles and doing wonderful things and great things. So he wanted to hear what Jesus had to say. And he came by night because the rest of the Pharisees, that was the religious rulers, they were wanting to kill Jesus. They didn't like him. And eventually they got him crucified. And he was one of those rulers, but he knew that Jesus was for real. But he didn't want to be seen with him in the daytime. So sometimes people can be ashamed of Bibles or God or Jesus or church. Well, that was kind of like Nicodemus. He came by night. He kind of snuck in because he wanted to hear from Jesus. So Jesus shared with him that he needed to have a new birth on the inside, that he needed a new life. Even though he was a really religious person, even though he was a ruler in Israel, he needed a new heart. He needed something new on the inside. So that's what he shared with me. And so, in the process of sharing that, he shared this verse, John 3:16. Now, we're going to look at some great things in this verse, and as we go through it, and see how many great things there are. And the first thing that it says in this verse is this: for God. Well, there's no one greater than God. We're going to start with something great. We're going to start with the person of God. Look at the vastness of our universe. Go outside on a starry night and look up into the heavens. You can't see the end of it. The majesty of it. And all that we can see here from planet Earth. But take the greatest telescopes and the greatest mechanizations that man has invented, and their ships that they have sent as far as they could go, thank you, as far as they can go, and they can't get to the end of it. Now, if the universe is that great, and the Bible says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, how great is God? How majestic is God? Have you ever been awestruck at a sunset? Have you? I know I have. Have you awestruck maybe at a beautiful waterfall or an incredible scenery or the stars at night? Whatever it is, when you are, you're seeing something great. But remember, the one who made it all is greater still. How great is God? I remember picking up two hitchhikers one time. I was going to a preaching meeting one evening, and two young fellows were hitchhiking along the road, and I picked them up and I got talking to them, and I asked them about if they believed in God, and one fellow said, no, I don't believe in God at all. And the other fellow, they were both university students, and I believe it was the University of Arizona they were going to, and the other fellow said, I didn't used to believe in God, but I went into this science, it was this science class of some kind that I was in. And he said, when we went into this science class, and he said the professor showed them what it looked like in an electron microscope. How far small that they could go, and the smallest they could go. So they were looking at a video of what an electron microscope showed, of the neutrons, the electrons surrounding the neutrons and the whole business. And he said it was all so orderly. Everything had its order in there. And he said it shocked me, because I didn't believe in anything. I didn't believe in God. But suddenly, in the smallest particles, everything seemed to be in order. And then what they did is the professor showed a video of the solar system and all the planets, and everything again was in order. And he said, you went this small and you went this big and you could see the same order. And it struck me, he said, somebody made this. Somebody created this. So he said after that, No, no, that'll make me worse. I know my throat. Yeah, I won't take any lozenges. He said, after that, thank you, though. He said, after that, I said, I have to get to know who this God is, because there's someone there who made all of this. Do you know that in the book of Romans chapter 1, it says that creation is a testimony that there's a God. God is declaring that he's real. Through the greatness of his creation, he is constantly saying to us, I'm here. And nobody can deny it. People seek to deny that, but it takes more faith to believe that there isn't a God than there is a God. Because of the order and the creation and everything and the balance. Look at our world and how the rain gets drawn up by the sunshine. The moisture gets drawn up. It falls back into rain. Replenishes the rivers. Flows back to the ocean. Then it gets drawn up again. That's one cycle that we see in this world. And there's many different cycles like that. All of the animals and the plants and the balance of everything. Now we've messed it up quite a bit. But all that is around us shouts, there is a God. Go into a labor room. Now, I don't suggest you do this unless you know the people. Right? But go into a room where a mama is having a baby. And when that little child comes out, it shouts, there is a God. It shouts, there's someone who has made this beautiful child, this wonderful creation. It's a miracle. And in speaking to nurses who've spent a lot of their years in the delivery room, it never becomes less miraculous for every baby that is born. Am I right? It's the truth. All of these things shout to the greatness of God. So when we start this verse, for God, we could spend the rest of our lives just talking about God, about who he is and how majestic he is and how awesome he is, the greatness of God. Oh, he is awesome. He is incredible and wonderful. But this great God is not just an austere God in the heavens who couldn't care less about us. He's not like the Greek gods that people have made up, like Jupiter and Zeus and these who were fighting with each other and couldn't care less about mankind. This God, this great God, so loved. Love is the greatest act that we can ever do. Now, love is action. Okay, just want you to know that. So, God, the greatest person, right? So loved, that's the greatest act. He loves. God loves. There is nothing greater than love. It tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, if I have the tongues of men and of angels and I have not love, I'm a sounding brass, I'm a tinkling cymbal. I'm just a noisemaker. That's all I am. It says if I give away everything I have, but I don't have love, because people can give away everything they have because they want people to know that they're generous. They want people to see them. They're full of pride. He says, if I don't have love, I am nothing. Without love, there is nothing. Did you know that the two greatest commandments in the Bible, do you know what they are? Does anybody know what they are? On these two commandments, everything else hangs. Do you know what they are? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second one is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. That's what it's all about. It's love. It's all about love. And love is that greatest action that could ever be given. And love is giving yourself away to another person. Love is not trying to just take from people. Love is giving to people. And that's the action of God. God so loved. That's the greatest act, the greatest movement that could ever happen is a movement of love. And that is God. That is his heart. So think about this now. God, the greatest person, so loved, the greatest act, the world. How many does that cover? Everyone. Everyone. And you know, the beauty of that is that that covers you tonight. God so loved you. Think about that. God so loved me. God so loved every one of us in this room because we're part of the world. Now, if you're a Martian, I'll excuse you. But I don't see any Martians here tonight, right? You're a human being and you're part of this world and God so loved you. And so we have God, the greatest person, so loved, the greatest act, the world, the greatest number of people. That is, God loves you. And God loves every single person. Now this tells us something about the worth of people. Is a rich man worth more than a poor man?
No.
Is an old man worth less than a new baby?
No.
No. Is a child in the womb worth less than a child out of the womb?
No.
Is that the way the world looks at it? Sadly, no. God so loved the world. He loves everyone. And that love is passionate. And that love is passionate because it gives action. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. This now is the greatest gift. God so loved the greatest person, the greatest act of love, the greatest number of people, and the greatest gift. What did God give because He loved the world? He gave His only begotten Son. There's only one Son of God, and it's Jesus Christ. That's whom God gave. Now, Jesus was the one telling these very words to them. He was saying, "For God the Father has so loved you that He gave you me." That's what Jesus was saying. That God has so loved the world that He did something. He gave His only begotten Son. Now, what is this? What is this gift? Why did He give His only Son? Who was this Jesus? Jesus was with the Father in heaven long before. Jesus didn't come into being just when He was conceived within the womb of the Virgin Mary. Jesus was with the Father before. And at a point in time, He left heaven and came down to earth and became conceived within the womb of Mary so that He could come into this world and take on humanity. You know, sometimes when you're going through a hard time, you don't think maybe nobody understands what I'm going through. I want you to know tonight that Jesus understands, because God gave His Son to the world. He gave His Son to us. He understands. The Bible says He was tested in every way like we were. He went through deep trials. Are you suffering? Well, did Jesus suffer? Do you know the Bible says He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief? And of course, when we look at the cross, we see an ultimate suffering. A suffering in every way, mental, spiritual, physical agony was poured out on Jesus Christ. Because God gave His Son. And really, God just didn't give His Son to come into the world to be a cute little baby in a manger. God gave His Son into the world for a purpose, and that was to go to the cross. And there was a reason why He would send His Son to that cross. It's because the world, that is all of us, have sinned and turned our back on God. Now, if you've never sinned, you're excused too, just like the Martians were. But I'm afraid every one of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us have turned our backs on God. And because every one of us have sinned, every one of us needs a Savior. And God sent Jesus, the greatest gift, into the world to be our Savior. He sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. The Bible says that Christ died for our sins. The Bible tells us that Jesus gave Himself for our sins. It says in the Word of God, He came to save His people from their sins. Now, how is that? How is it that Jesus can save us from our sins? How can this great gift do this? It's because He was perfect, and we're sinners. And God has to punish sin. But God so loves you that He doesn't want to punish you for your sins. He doesn't want to roast and toast you. He wants to take you up into heaven. But He can't take you into heaven if you've got your sins. Can't do it. If He took sin into heaven, guess what happens to heaven? It gets messed up, just like this place was. Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, and look at the mess we have now. Didn't go very far long before Cain kills Abel. Their own sons murdered each other. And murder has been going on ever since. And we can murder in our hearts just by having hatred or jealousy or envy or strife for other people. And so that's the mess we're in now. God is not going to let one sin into heaven. Not one. If He lets one sin into heaven, heaven becomes a mess. One sin happened on earth has become a mess. And God won't let one sin in And so how then can I get rid of my sins? Because Jesus said this in John chapter 8. He said, if you die in your sins, you cannot go where I am. Imagine. That's what Jesus said. If you die in your sins, can't go with me. Can't be with me. Boy, I don't want to die in my sins. So what hope do I have? What hope does anybody in the human race have to be able to be in God's heaven? God sent his son Jesus. Jesus came. Jesus went to the cross. And on the cross he suffered for what?
For our
sins. And if he suffered for my sins, I don't have to suffer for them. If he paid for them, I don't have to pay for them. Boy, that's something to think about, isn't it? Imagine the dying thief next to Jesus. I love that story because there were two thieves that were crucified, one on each side of Jesus. And one thief made fun of Jesus. But guess what? So did the other one. The two of them made fun of Jesus. The both of them mocked Jesus. Now, they were getting what they deserved. As a matter of fact, one guy says, we're getting what we deserve here. But he realized, he was mocking Jesus, and suddenly he realized who Jesus was, and he started telling the other guy, we better stop mocking him because this man has done nothing wrong, and we're getting what we deserve. And then he turns to Jesus. Now, this guy didn't lead a good life. He was a wicked man. He said, I'm getting what I deserve. He turns to Jesus and he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And immediately Jesus turns to him and says, today you'll be with me in paradise. Here's a guy who didn't lead a good life. And he was a guy that wasn't going to lead a good life because he had no life left. He was going to die very shortly. And he did. So it wasn't like, okay, I'm going to really try to be better. And if I'm really better, maybe you'll get me and you'll forgive me. No, he couldn't. He had no life left. It was over. Here was a guy that didn't deserve to go to heaven. But guess what? Neither do you and neither do I. Our sins mean we don't deserve to go to heaven. But God so loved us that he gave us the greatest gift, Jesus Christ. For what purpose? So that he would take the punishment for all our sins so that heaven can be ours. Now, when Jesus died on that cross, you weren't even born. But when he died on that cross, he died for the sins of the whole world, past, present, and future. The payment's been made. Now, what then must I do? How then can I have this great gift? How can it be mine? How can I be sure that my sins are all forgiven? Because I wouldn't want to miss any of them. And when Christ died for them, he didn't die for some. He died for them all. So how then can I have all of this? Look what it says here. He gave his only begotten Son, the greatest gift, that whoever, the greatest opportunity. There's another great. The greatest opportunity that whoever, that means anybody can, whoever, what? Believes in him. This is the greatest step that we can take. Whoever believes. By trusting in him. The great action of faith. That whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Imagine. Whoever believes in him. Whoever trusts in Jesus Christ. This is how I get all my sins forgiven. I don't have to earn it. I don't have to pay for it, and I don't have to get it burnt off either. I'm so glad of that one.
Good.
I don't have to get my sins burned away. Jesus took them at the cross. And all you have to do is to receive Jesus Christ, believing in him. The Bible says receiving him is believing him. It's not about what church we attend. There's nothing wrong with attending church, but church can't save us. Preachers can't save you. Only Jesus died on the cross for us, whatever religion we belong to. It's Jesus that suffered on the cross, and it's Jesus that took the punishment for your sins, and it's Jesus I have to put my trust in. And if I put my trust in Jesus, it says if I believe in him, I will not perish, but instead I'll have everlasting life. This wonderful, incredible experience of trusting in Jesus Christ means I'll not perish. Now, that's the greatest loss. The greatest loss is to perish. Now, what does the Bible talk about perishing? Well, people don't like to talk about hell. This day and age, most people say that there is no hell. People say hell is here on earth. But the Bible actually tells us there is a hell that people go to for eternity if they don't believe in Jesus Christ. But look what it says. If you believe in Jesus, you will not perish. Not go to hell. You won't go to hell. You must go to hell if you die in your sins. But look, it says you will not perish. That's the greatest loss. But have everlasting life. That's the greatest gain. That's heaven. That is, have everlasting life. And when do you have everlasting life? As soon as you believe. I know for certain that I'm going to heaven. I know the moment I die, I'm going straight to heaven. And it's not because I'm good enough. Was the thief on the cross good enough?
Nope.
Did Jesus say, today you'll be with me in paradise? Yes. So you too can say, if you trust in Jesus Christ, then you can say, I have everlasting life. Because Jesus said it. I'm going to take him at his word. I will not perish, but have everlasting life. For God, the greatest person, so loved, the greatest act, the world, the greatest number of people, that he gave his only begotten Son, the greatest gift, that whoever, the greatest opportunity, believes in him. This is the greatest, I can't even think of the word for this, but it's another one of the greatest acts. Whoever believes in him should not perish. The greatest loss, but have everlasting life. The greatest gain. That's a great verse. That's a great God. That's a great thing that God has done. And he has done it to save every person who wants to be saved. The question that rises up, do people want to be saved? Do I want to be in God's heaven? And hopefully the answer is yes. I don't want to perish, but I want to have everlasting life. Look what it says in the next verse just before we stop here tonight. It says this. Whoops. Not that. Hang on. It jumped ahead of me. The next verse says, look. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. Jesus didn't come to condemn us, but that the world through him might be what? Saved. That's what he did. He didn't send his Son in the world to condemn you. He sent his Son in the world to save you. He who believes in him is what? Not condemned. But he that does not believe is condemned already. That's what it says. If you believe in him, you're not condemned. But if you don't believe in him, you're already condemned. That's what the Word of God teaches. And that's the greatest verse in the Bible for you tonight. I never go tired of speaking of it. I never go tired of thinking about who God is and how much he loves us. And I want you to know tonight that he loves each one of you. And he wants you to be sure of heaven. And it isn't by quitting a church or joining a church. It's by trusting in Jesus Christ as your own Savior. If you trust him, you will not perish. You'll have everlasting life. If you don't trust him, you will be condemned and you'll lose your soul. That's very simple, isn't it? But it's wonderful that he offers this as a free gift to us. This is a great story that God offers to the world and that we can share with other people as well. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. That's it. Let's pray, and then we'll have a little lunch together. Dear God, we thank you tonight for the Bible. We thank you, Lord, that it's a love letter from God to us. And Lord, so many people are afraid of the Bible and afraid of you, and yet, Lord, you're so full of love and passion for us that you would send your Son and sacrifice your Son to the cross so we could be saved. And if you've done all that to save us, and all we need to do is come and put our trust in you, shouldn't we come running and say, yes, Lord, I'm trusting in Jesus. Help each one in this room to make sure that they trust in the Lord. And Lord, help us to share this wonderful story with the whole world. In Jesus' name, amen. And bless our little lunch. Right. Well, thanks for coming tonight. I could have done Psalm 78 tonight, but I think this was...